to the House Geeks Real Estate Show, sponsored by Bricks Real Estate, iLoan Home Mortgage, Network Title, and James Tolson with Country Financial. If you have any questions for us, give us a call during the show or after the show at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Also, make sure you check us out online at housegeeks.com. Follow us on our Facebook page by typing in House Geeks, looking for the little house and glasses. And subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you'll find almost 100 videos now, all about different parts of real estate transactions, whether you're buying or selling a home. Great tips on there to help save you money or make you more money on the sale of your property. Today, we're going to be talking about the biggest misconceptions in real estate transactions. These are the pain points that we hear about from buyers and sellers in almost every real estate transaction, just due to misunderstandings of how it's been explained in the past by other agents, or just the industry in general, what we've been taught. There's just a lot of misinformation that's out there. And if you have a good understanding of these pain points, it'll strengthen your negotiation in your next real estate transaction. So the first one I want to get to, and probably the biggest, is closing costs. And it doesn't help that with closing costs, there's a sheet that basically says sellers' contributions to buyers' closing costs is what the form is called. This doesn't help when trying to explain to a seller or a buyer what's actually going on.
Before we get too far into that, maybe it's helpful to talk about approximations of the what closing costs would cost a buyer.
Yes.
And that kind of varies.
Let's talk about what they are a little bit as well, to understand truly the responsibility and why, you know, why it is the way it is.
Sure. So with an FHA loan, if you are getting an FHA loan and purchasing a house, your closing costs will be somewhere, and this is rough estimate, somewhere in the neighborhood of 3.5% of the total purchase price of the house. And that will cover things like loan origination fees, broker admin fees, title company fees, and taxes, and some of your prepaids and escrows. Now, if you're getting a conventional loan, the amount of closing costs will be slightly lower, it'd be in the neighborhood of somewhere of around 3%. But 3% for a conventional and 3.5% for an FHA should cover the closing costs.
Now, I want to go into those costs that you just brought up. So the closing costs for a buyer, okay, is the buyer's loan origination fee, the buyer's prepaid homeowner's insurance, the buyer's upcoming property taxes. Okay, this is not the seller's responsibility. Okay, this is the buyer's responsibility. And so when we break down what's actually going on here, this should make better sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there is this form that's called the, you know, seller's contributions towards buyer's closing costs. This is basically a vehicle that allows to inflate the price of a property so that way you can roll these closing costs into the financing. Okay? So I'm going to give a quick little example here. If you have a condo, let's say you're out with a buyer, we're shopping, we see a condo. This condo is priced at $105,000. We determine that that condo is worth about $97,000. That the value of that condo is $97,000. So we have two ways we can handle this when it comes to the closing costs. Now remember, buyer's loan origination fee, buyer's escrow for taxes and insurance. Okay, so we have two different ways that we can handle this. One, the buyer can pay this cash out of pocket, or two, they can finance it into the loan. The way they would finance it into the loan is we would write an offer for $100,000 asking the seller, quote unquote, pay 3% of the closing costs, that's then netting the seller $97,000. Okay. Or we could just offer the seller $97,000 and pay the $3,000 ourselves. Okay. So in neither, either circumstance, the seller is actually paying it. You're just putting it into the financing. That's how it's done.
So at the end of the day, on a $100,000 property, if you pay your closing costs out of pocket at closing, you will be paying $103,000. If these... You take over, Kirk. Yeah, yeah, I lost my train of thought here.
No, no. Yeah.
I was trying to simplify.
$100,000. Go with 100. $100,000, 3%, then it would be 97 net. Okay? You were kind of trying to work it backwards.
Yes.
Yes. So at the end of the day, it's basically artificially inflating the sale price of the property to incorporate those closing costs. This would be no different than when you go to a car dealership and they say tax, title, and license. Do you want to put that into the loan or do you want to pay it cash out of pocket? That is how closing costs are handled. Now, if somebody's out there going, well, I want to offer $97,000 and have the seller pay the closing costs, then you are not offering the seller $97,000. You're not offering them something like $94,000, right?
Correct.
Right? So you, if you understand this, what you're truly offering the seller, or if you're the seller and understanding truly what that buyer is doing, now you can work from there. When I'm working with a seller, I always talk about the seller net to you is this. Well, what about these closing costs I'm paying? You're not paying the closing costs. The seller net to you is this. It doesn't matter what they're doing with the financing. Okay? The seller net is what really matters.
So if the seller is going to do some kind of reduction, let's just say it's $3,000, they're either going to do it by paying $3,000 in closing costs or reducing the price $3,000. If you ask for both, it's essentially like getting a $6,000 reduction. Right.
Okay. Let's move on to mortgage shopping and this misconception about shopping for rates. I need the lowest rate. I got to find the lowest rate, Chad. Look at this billboard down the road. They said I could get a loan for 4% right now. Or geez, I was online and I saw all these ads popping up that said I could get this interest rate of 3.99% if I could use this internet company that no one ever answers their phone when I need them to. So we've been taught as consumers, interest rate is like the absolute end all be all. And that tends not to be the case when you break down a loan and you actually start talking with a buyer about really what's most important to them. Interest rate does not directly translate into lowest payment, okay? Because there's other things that may come into play. Or interest rate doesn't always transition into most money saved, okay? So how do you want to shop for a mortgage? What's the best way to do this? Well, the first thing is to figure out the term of the loan. If you can shorten your loan, do it. If you can afford it, do it. Save that money. I have a median price home in the Twin Cities, and I went from a 30-year to a 20-year. If I stay there for that 20 years, I will have saved $123,000 in payments, in interest.
And you'll have paid your house off in 10 less years.
And my payment's only like, you know, $175 more or something a month, right? So you want to save some real money, some big dollars and cents? Look at that first. And here's the first reason you want to look at that first. Shorten your term. You sometimes shorten your, you lower your interest rate. Okay.
So and a lot of people think you either have to do a 15-year or a 30-year. No, as you just pointed out, Kirk, you did a 20-year.
You can do a 25-year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the term, by far, some of the biggest savings in mortgage shopping process can be done right there. You know, you might be fretting over a couple grand on your negotiations, your purchase agreement. Try saving 123 G's, right? Shorten that term up. You know, I want to get into these next two steps, but we got to take a commercial break here in a minute. When we come back, we're also going to talk about misconceptions around appraisals, inspections, down payments, and pricing your house. Hopefully we can get to that as well. If you have any questions for us, give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. We'll be right back.
Network Title knows it's the little things that make big things happen, like protecting home buyers from title defects. As an independently owned and operated full-service title company, we specialize in all the important details. We come to where you want to close, even nights or weekends. We'll even bring fresh baked cookies. Network Title, stress-free closings since 1993. Work with a company that puts you first. For details, go to network-title.com or give us a call at 651-482-9514.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
The one constant in life is change. Throughout our lives, we will go down roads that we never imagined, and we need to be prepared for whatever comes our way. Want to own your future? Contact Country Financial Representative James Tovson. James can help put a solid plan in place with insurance solutions to help make sure you're protected for what lies ahead. Get started today. Contact James Tovson in Minneapolis at 651-365-3408 for Country Financial.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chuchke, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and Native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
We are awake.
Hi, I'm Kirk.
And I'm Chad.
With Bricks Real Estate and the House Geeks Real Estate Show, Sundays at noon on AM 950, here with your House Geeks Market Minute. 4.9 is the average number of showings per week per listing in the 200 to 400K price range in the Minneapolis and St. Paul area. This is seasonally expected and is a main indicator of demand in the marketplace. Pending home sales are up over the same time last year, 4.4%, and the 30-year conventional interest rate is at around 4.41%. This is down over last week's 4.46%.
Conclusion for buyers. The snow kept coming, which is slowing up activity over the last month, creating an opportunity for more negotiation room. For sellers, as the weather improves, the home buyer activity should pick right back up, making it a good time to put your home on the market. Want to know the smarter way to buy and sell homes in the Twin Cities? Check us out online anytime at housegeeks.com.
Welcome back to the House Geeks Real Estate Show on AM 950. After the show, check us out on at housegeeks.com for the latest and greatest searching and researching tools. Follow us on our YouTube page or subscribe there. We got lots of great videos and tips to save you money on the purchase of your next home and make you some additional money on the sale of your home if you currently have one. And it's all free. Free tips. Can't argue with that.
Without commercials.
Without commercials. I don't know. Is YouTube putting commercials into them?
Well, I think only if you have your videos monetized.
Mm. Oh.
I think. I could be wrong,
that
but
we need that many subscribers, right? Mm-hmm. All right. So we were talking about mortgage shopping and some of the misconceptions about interest rate being the most important thing. And, you know, it is important, but you need to get to that interest rate by following some steps. So one, you figure out that term. Then two, do you or are you dealing with mortgage insurance? So if you're putting less than 20% down, typically mortgage insurance is going to be in play. And you can buy this out with what's called a single premium, but that may change your interest rate. However, it also may drop your payment. So you might actually up your interest rate possibly, but then lower your payment because you don't have the mortgage insurance. So there's a prime example of how interest rate may not be the most important thing. Okay. The other thing you could do is what's called lender paid mortgage insurance. Once again, that could change interest rate. So a couple things you want to look at there.
The other thing that changes interest rate is the type of loan. So for instance, FHA loans historically, not always, but historically have a lower interest rate than conventional loans. However, historically, FHA loans also have higher mortgage insurance typically than conventional loans. So even though you may be getting an FHA loan with a lower interest rate and everything else is the same, you may be paying a higher monthly payment for that FHA loan than the very equivalent conventional loan.
And then also how you deal, the final thing before we get to interest rate is how you deal with the closing costs. Are you utilizing discount points to buy down the interest rate? Now, I'm going to step back because at the beginning of this segment or of the topic, I was making fun of the billboards at 3.99%. Look at those boards. There's going to be a bunch of little asterisks on there, all right? And typically, it's going to say you need 25% down. You need a credit score above 740. You need to be buying down discount points to get that interest rate. So you don't become a victim of these ads. At the end of the day, when you're looking for a mortgage, you want to be working with somebody typically local that's come recommended and that you trust. Because almost always, they're selling their loans to the same places. So how would this one company miraculously have this incredibly lower interest rate if the end buyer is almost always the same? So it's about the service, and it's about what loan works best for you, not some product that they can push down your throat as fast as feasibly possible to make them as much money as possible. If you take the time and figure out the term, the mortgage insurance piece of the pie, how you're dealing with closing costs and discount points, then we can get into the loan. The other thing, too, is when you see these billboards with these and ads with these interest rates, you know, if you buy a condo or a townhome, that's going to adjust your interest rate. Do you know, depending on the percentage down you have, that's going to affect your interest rate? Your credit score that you have is going to affect your interest rate.
Your debt-to-income ratio will affect your interest rate.
Right. So if you want to see these adjustments and see them for yourself so you can look at those billboards and laugh every time, type in Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loan pricing adjustment sheet. You'll find it, and you'll see exactly how they're going to probably adjust the interest rate based on those different pieces of criteria that are specific to you, not a billboard. Mm-hmm. All right, so there's my little rant on shopping for mortgages.
But it's very important stuff because where you save a ton of money in addition to negotiating on the property is finding the right loan that works for your specific goals.
All right, so is the purpose of an appraisal to find the value of a home?
I don't know, Kirk. I think almost every appraisal I get on a home is exactly at the purchase price of the purchase agreement.
A lot of them? Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of odd.
Over 9 out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a little odd if it's really trying to find the true value of the loan, isn't it?
That is. You would think that the real value might be somewhere near that or somewhere under it or somewhere over it, but almost all of them are exactly on that. Reason being is the appraiser is simply trying to justify the amount of money that the buyer is paying for the property so that the lender knows that the value is there.
It's risk assessment, right?
Yes.
Right? The lender is looking at what is their risk. An appraisal is not to give a value of a home. Quite often I'll have sellers say, should I get an appraisal? No, their appraisal is going to just basically tell you either what your agent is telling you or what you want to hear. A real appraisal comes from the buyer's lender, right? that's going, how much are we really willing to lend on this property? Okay, it is not an accurate assessment of the market value of the home. This is where, you know, I think there's a lot of misconception on it. So it's an opinion, and you can argue that opinion with the lenders. Sometimes you can ask for a new appraisal, potentially. But at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's an opinion of risk, or where they want to go with that.
And it is one person's opinion. Right. If you ask three different appraisers, you'd probably get three different opinions on a home if there's no contract on the home at that time.
I think it would be kind of fun to see appraisals without having them see the purchase agreement.
I don't think it would be fun. I think that would be a nightmare, Kirk.
Well, it might be a little scary.
Mm-hmm.
Inspections. What to ask for and what not to ask for. What to be prepared for as a seller. You know, what a good real estate agent is going to prep their sellers for, and what a good real estate agent is going to prep their buyers for, is to ask for things that are life safety issues or things that are not common for a home of that age. I'm going to use a car example here. I'm not going to go buy a 68 Mustang and say, hey, you know what? It doesn't have fuel injection, so I want you to put fuel injection in that. Or, oh, the motor's old. You need to replace the motor. Okay, but people will look at a furnace, and the furnace can be running just fine, and go, well, the furnace is old, I want it replaced. I mean, Chad, what's the oldest furnace that you've seen running fine?
Well, we recently came across an old Octopus furnace that had to be near 80 years old. Yep. Probably wasn't running efficiently. The house was very warm while we were in it.
Yeah, I had one that was 1940. A 1940 furnace, gravity fed. So age doesn't necessarily have to do anything with it. It has to do with maintenance and how well it's taken care of. So we go back to that life safety issues or things that are uncommon. If the furnace is not operating, yes, that's a problem. And as a buyer, you should ask for that to be corrected or replaced. As a seller, if your furnace is not operating correctly, you should get that fixed. Now, if we're talking about a sticky window or a crack in the garage slab, you know, things like that. Those are just common for older homes, right?
Another common one we see are bathrooms without fans and in homes built in, you know, the 1950s and earlier.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, it comes to be what is common. And a good agent is going to know that. And if you're a buyer out there, maybe you should have a good understanding of what are common issues, because you're not buying a new house if you're going into the cities and buying a 1930s Craftsman. So you need to have a good understanding of what's probably going to show up there, because you can end up spending quite a bit of money on an inspection that maybe you're not ready to take on these different things. All right. Well, Chad, we had a lot of extra stuff we could go through, but maybe we just need to save that for another show. If you have any questions for us, give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. If you're thinking of buying or selling a home or just have a real estate question, we'd be happy to help you out. Check us out online anytime at housegeeks.com for the latest and greatest home searching and researching tools. We'll be back again next week.